the subtitle underneath it is Discovering God's Plan in This World. And we're going to be talking about this idea, the greatest investment, for 2 months, all the way to the end of February. And we're going to be talking about what God is invested in and whether or not, or how even, how we can be involved in this investment. So throughout our sermon series, we're going to basically talk about four major ideas. Number one, we're going to be talking about what this greatest investment is and how you can be involved in this investment. Number two, we're going to be talking about things to consider in this investment. So things to think about as you think about this investment. Number three, we're going to talk about testimonies of this great investment. And number four, we're going to be talking about strategies for this investment. And so these are the things that we're going to be talking about throughout the sermon series. Now, today's title is God's Investment, and we're going to be talking about what is this great investment? What is God invested in? And so to talk about this, we're going to be looking at the passage from Isaiah chapter 48. And so if you have your Bibles, if you would turn your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 48, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11. If you have one of these Bibles from the outside, you can turn your Bibles to page 608. 608. Isaiah chapter 48, starting in verse 1 all the way to verse 11. This is the reading of God's word. Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel and who came from the waters of Judah, who swear by the name of the Lord and confess the God of Israel, but not in truth or right. For they call themselves after the holy city and stay themselves on the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. The former things I declared of old, they went out from my mouth and I announced them. Then suddenly I did them, and they came to pass. Because I know that you are obstinate, and your neck is an iron sinew, and your forehead brass. I declared them to you from of old. Before they came to pass, I announced them to you, lest you should say, my idol did them, my carved image and my metal image commanded them. You have heard. Now see all this, and will you not declare it? From this time forth, I announce to you new things, hidden things that you have not known. They are created now, not long ago. Before today, you have never heard of them, lest you should say, behold, I knew them. You have never heard. You have never known. From of old, your ear has not been opened. For I knew that you would surely deal treacherously, and that from before birth you were called a rebel. For my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you, that I may not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. What do you invest your time and money in? And as you make these investments, what is your ultimate goal? As you make these investments, where do you spend your time and your money? Some people may talk about stocks. For some reason, I don't know why, but I hear a lot more these days from different people talking about stocks and things like that. What do you invest your time and money in? Do you invest it in your business, your work, your family, church? Well, when we do talk about investment, you may have heard from different people out there in the world. When you talk about investment, people normally advise people to know what your goal is in your investment, to know what you're investing in and why. And so what is that final goal? Why do you invest in stocks? Why do you invest in your business or work? Why do you invest in family or church? Is it to retire? Is it for your children's education? Is it to buy a house? As Christians, God calls us to make God's glory our ultimate goal. And so here's the main idea for today. What is our goal in making an investment with our time, our money, with everything that we are? What should our goal be? The main idea for today is to live for God's glory through Christ. And we're going to talk about three ideas. Number one, God's investment. Number two, our investment. And number three, Christ's investment. Once again, our main idea for today is that we want to live for God's glory through Christ. And the three ideas that we're going to talk through are God's investment, our investment, and Christ's investment. Let's talk about this first idea, God's investment. As we talk about God's investment, this is what we really want to focus on today. Because this is going to set a foundation for the rest of our series. What is it that God is invested in? What is this great investment that we're talking about? Well, here's the thing. When we talk about our own investments, a lot of times we invest in things that will only last a short period of time. We invest in things that may end with our lives. Our investments may have a limited result. But what if we could invest in something that outlasts our lives? God has something that He's invested in that lasts for eternity. And so when we talk about living for God's glory, it's possible for us to use our time and our money and all of our efforts to invest into something that lasts beyond our lives. And so as we talk about God's investment, we want to talk about two main ideas. God's ultimate investment goal is His own glory. And number two, God's ultimate investment is the restoration of the world. Right? So what God uses, His time and money, right? So make sure you see the quotes. God uses His time and money. He uses all His efforts to restore the world. Why? The ultimate goal, the ultimate purpose is His own glory. So let's talk about this first idea. When we talk about God's investment, we're talking about how His goal is His own glory. In today's passage, God speaks through Isaiah and God says, "For my own sake, I'm doing these things. For my own sake, I do it. For how should I let my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another." So as we think about this idea, we might ask, what is He doing? And why is He saying He wouldn't give His glory to another? Now let's answer that. When He says that He's not going to give His glory to another, we have to understand what this idea of glory is about. And so when we talk about glory, we want to talk about this Hebrew word that comes from the Old Testament, and this word, the basic idea carries on into the New Testament. And this word originally has this idea of like heaviness. Now, there are different ways that this word is translated, but this word glory is having this sense, this weightiness, knowing God's presence, knowing what God is all about. And so what that means is that it goes into different ideas, like it has to do with God's credit, God's reputation, God's praise. We talk about God's glory in a way where when we say we want to give glory to God, we want to lift His name on high. We want to say that He is a great God. We want to declare His reputation to other people. We want to see His glory be all over the earth. We want to see that God's name is proclaimed. We want to see people declare who God actually is. A powerful God, the Creator God, the good God, the righteous God, the holy God, the just God, the compassionate God, the loving God, who is slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. We want to see this God declared all around the world. God's glory When we say that God is not going to give his glory to anyone else, what he's saying is that he does not want to give credit to something else for all the things that God is doing. And so this idea comes up over and over in Scripture. Let me read a couple passages for you guys. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare his greatness, his power, the fact that he's a creator God, and the skies proclaim his handiwork." Psalm 57 says, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." And then we go all the way to the New Testament, to the last book of the New Testament, where it says in Revelation 4, "And before the throne," this is a picture of heaven, with God on the throne. "And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal, and around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, by your will they existed and were created.'" So you see, God's investment, his investment goal, is his own glory. We see this idea of God's glory being talked about and going all throughout the world, talked about all throughout Scripture. And even in the vision and Revelation, we see this focus on God receiving all the glory. God desires for his glory to be all over the earth, his reputation to be made known. God desires for his name to be made known all around the world. But how will God do this? How will God fulfill this? What is his investment? What God is doing, what God has been doing since the beginning of time, and what God continues to do today, and what God will accomplish finally all the way to the end, is the restoration of the world. I can summarize for you guys what the whole Bible is talking about. We can go through every single verse and talk slowly through every single verse, but I can summarize for you what the purpose of this whole Bible is about. And that is that God wants to declare to everyone in this world that God exists. He is the Creator God. But all mankind have fallen short of his glory. All mankind have fallen away from God. But God is working. God is the one that's working to restore people, the ones that he's called to restore people unto himself. And he will do the work of not only restoring the relationship between man and God, but God is also going to do the work of changing the world one day into a new creation with a new heavens and a new earth. God will restore the whole world. In other words, our God is a God that's on mission. Our God is a missionary God. The God that we talk about has a purpose in this world. And it's not just so that you can just live your life and be happy every day and that's it. That's not God's purpose. God's purpose is not just to let you have a wonderful life and just to live a life that's without suffering and without pain. That's not God's purpose. God's purpose is to restore this world. God is doing a work in this world. And what that means is that sometimes in your life, you may not experience a happy, carefree life. Because in a way, it's not about you. What God is doing is not about you and your happiness. You know, some of you guys may know that feeling of when you're growing up and your maybe your younger brother or your younger sister is there right next to you, and you're trying to talk to your friend, and you guys are talking about how, you know, isn't there this cool new thing that I'm able to do now? I'm able to do addition and subtraction. We're going really young, right? And then your baby sister or your baby brother comes up and says, "Oh, I know how to do that. I know how to do that." And then you might say to your friend, or you might say to your little brother or sister, "Excuse me, this is an A and B conversation, so see you later. This is not about you. We don't care about what you're thinking. This is just a conversation between me and my friend," right? Now, this is a funny way to say this, but then sometimes as Christians, when we think about what is God's purpose for my life, we're thinking, what is God going to do to bless me so that I can have a happy life? I'm sorry, that's not God's purpose. That's not God's plan for you. What God is doing is not about your own happiness. God has a plan in this world. And God is continually asking the question to you, Christian, believer in Jesus Christ, will you follow what God is doing in this world? Will you be a part of what God is doing in this world? Because our God is a missionary God. Our God is working, and he's been working since the beginning of time. I don't know if you can tell what this picture is, but it's a conductor conducting for an orchestra. God has been working from the beginning of time. He's working even now today, and he will continue to do the work until Jesus Christ returns. He's orchestrating all of history so that things work out according to his plan. God is doing a work, and so you might go through times of suffering. You might go through times of joy and gladness. You might have times of plenty, and you might have times of being in want. But God is using all of that, and he's orchestrating all of history to work out according to his plan so that he can restore the world so that he would receive all honor and glory. God's investment, his goal, first of all, is his own glory. And what God is doing, what he's been doing, what he's doing today and what he will continue to do is that he will restore the world. That's God's investment. And so the question comes again to you, all of you. Will you be involved? Are you willing to participate in what God is doing? Because I'll tell you this, if you're involved in what God is doing, it will be successful. It will happen according to what God desires. Things will work out, not in the way that you think, but things will work out according to God's ways. And so will you choose to be involved? And so that's where we come to our second point, our investment. You know, it really is a wonderful thing to be involved in what God is doing. It's actually a very exciting thing to be involved in what God is doing. It's not always easy. There are times that it's really, really difficult. But as you see how God is working in your life and how you see God working through you to other people, it's just an exciting thing to see how the gospel changes people. Remember, God is doing his work to restore the world through the gospel. God changes us through the gospel and changes us to be more and more like Christ. But not only that, God uses us so that the world can be changed according to the gospel also. And so it's a wonderful thing to be a part of what God is doing. But you know, here's the thing. Our goal should be to give God glory, to live for God's glory. That's what our goal should be. A lot of times, it's very easy. And I know a lot of you, you really want to. You even say you want to live for God's glory. You even say in your prayers, you know, we ask for these things for your glory. I know that you do these things, but it's so easy for all of us to slip into the mindset of living for our own glory. Our investment goal, rather than being God's glory, it becomes for our own glory. In our passage today, God says, you know, how can I let my name be profaned? I will do the work. And God says this because it's so easy. Even in the passage, it tells us that a lot of times we won't give God the glory. We'll give ourselves the glory, or we'll give some idol, some carved image, something in our lives the glory. We'll say, you know, this thing is the reason why things are turning out well in my life. We'll give the credit to some other things. Here's what the passage says. I declared them to you from of old. God is saying, you know, there are these things that I've said that are going to happen. Even terrible things because of your sin. There are these things I'm declaring to you, and I've declared to you. I declared them to you from of old. Before they came to pass, I announced them to you, lest you should say, my idol did them. My carved image and my metal image commanded them. And then in verse 7 it says, they are created now, not long ago, before today, you have never heard of them, lest you should say, behold, I knew them. You see, God is telling the people, look, I'm working to restore my people, but look, you guys have been falling into sin. And this is a story from the Old Testament. If you're curious about this, you can go back to our sermon series from the summertime where we talked about the minor prophets. But God was working in a way to show people that they have fallen into sin, that they've slipped into giving glory to other things. But God is working continually to show, look, I'm still in control. I'm still doing my work. I will do the work of restoring my people. But you see here in this passage, it tells us it's so easy for us to give credit to other things. To say that these methods that I've learned from Facebook or from this particular scholar or from this particular news article, that these are the reasons why I'm okay today. It's because of my degree. It's because of my family upbringing. It's because I'm this particular nationality. It's because of these things that I am in a good place today. I'm able to be successful, or I'm able to have a good family. It's because of me. And we take the glory away from God. We don't give credit to God, but we give credit to ourselves. This is what God says. He says, you have never heard. I'm not going to tell you all the things that I'm going to do. Because this is what happens if I tell you ahead of time all the things that I'm going to do. This is what he says. He says, you have never heard. You have never known from of old. Your ear has not been opened. For I knew you would surely deal treacherously, and that from before birth you were called a rebel. You see this thing, this struggle of taking glory away from God and giving glory to ourselves is something that not only us today struggle with, this is a struggle that all of humanity has struggled with through all of time. We don't want to give glory to God. Even though that's God's goal, God's plan is to work to restore us to Him so that we would begin to give glory to Him. But a lot of times we fail. We fail to give God the glory. We fail to give Him the credit. We fail to praise Him and thank Him. And rather what we do is we thank ourselves. You know, I'm not saying talking about your degree is a bad thing. I'm not saying talking about your family upbringing or your background is a bad thing. That's not what I'm saying. But are we giving credit and glory to whom it's due? Are we remembering that all of these things that happen in our lives is because of how God is working in our lives? You know, I want to take a moment to talk to you. If you are an unbeliever here, I want you to know that perhaps you're here listening to this sermon, not because of somehow you've decided to come and be here, not because a friend told you to be here. I mean, those are factors. But ultimately, it's because God has been working in your life to bring you into this place. And some of you non-Christians have been here listening week after week, listening to God's word, because perhaps it's been God all along that's been working in your life to orchestrate the things that are happening in your life so that you can hear this message. That God is doing a powerful work, and perhaps God is even doing a work in your life now. Whether you're a non-Christian or whether you are a Christian, it's really easy for us to slip back into not giving God the glory, but giving all the credit to ourselves or to other people or to other things. What we should be doing is we should be using these things, our degree, our family background, our history, the skills that we have, the job that we have, the relationships that we have, the connections that we have. We should be using all these things for God's glory. We should be using these things to see God's work continue on where God is invested, to see the gospel continue to go forth, to see that His name is proclaimed around the world. We should be using these things as tools. Rather, we change these things into things that glorify us, ourselves. You know, it's hard sometimes to think about this, about how we give glory to ourselves or how we give credit to ourselves. And I know that many of you Christians, You think, no, I want to give all glory to God. I give all credit to God. But you know, it's really, really tricky sometimes. Because even as Christians, even when we're serving the church, if you're here as a missionary or a pastor, or if you've been involved in the church ministry for a while, you guys may also know yourselves. It's very easy to slip into the mindset of, even though you're doing things for God, you're doing godly things, but you actually do these things for yourself. And there are moments here and there where that happens. This is a picture of Los Angeles, where I grew up and where also I went to university. I went to the University of Southern California, and there's a part of my school where I could go up to the roof and I could see this view. I could see the buildings, the tall buildings, kind of in a distance. It's a little bit closer than this building or this picture. But there was one time that I was looking out to downtown LA, and it was at nighttime, and I was praying to God, and I was asking, God, I want to see your work done in this campus. God, I want to see your word go forth. I want to see your gospel continue on to all the people that don't know you here on this campus. I want to see your gospel continue to spread throughout this city. And I was praying that. But it was during a time where the campus ministry that I was involved in actually closed down. And I didn't know how to get involved in God's work. And so I started crying. I started to shed tears because I was saying, God, I want you to do your work. But I'm shedding my tears because I so want to be involved. But even if it doesn't involve me, I want to see your work done. But that heart of, I really want to be involved, it revealed to me how much I wanted to be involved, not necessarily to give God glory, but to say that I was a part of something important and special. And I was in tears because it was almost in that moment that I was learning to give up this idea of doing things for my own glory. But I realized in that moment that even though I was praying for things for God, there was still this heart of wanting to do things for myself. So what about you? What is your investment? Where do you put your time and your money? Do you live for God's glory or do you live for your own glory? The fact is that a lot of times we do fail. And actually, we can't help but to fail. We fall into our temptation. And rather than giving God all the glory, we want to see ourselves receive the glory. But remember that our God is a missionary God. Our God is moving and working to continue to draw you back to himself. God is doing the work, not us. It's not about you. It's not about your own happiness. It's not even about your own efforts, about how much you're putting into it. It's about how God is working in your lives to change your heart, to give you the motivation, to empower you and strengthen you. God is doing this work, and God is doing this, and it's only possible through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we come to our last point, Christ's investment. Remember, God has said, for my name's sake, I defer my anger. I'm going to do the work of restoring you to myself. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it from you that I may not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, for my own sake, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. And Jesus Christ, he makes this happen. He makes it possible for this to happen. Because as Jesus lived his whole life, he lived it for the Father's glory. In John chapter 17, we find Jesus' prayer. Everything that he did in his life, it led up to this point. This was a prayer that he prayed right before, the night before he goes to the cross. Jesus prays, I do not ask for these only. I'm sorry, I didn't include the verse that I wanted to read for you guys. It is in John chapter 17, but it's in the very beginning of the chapter. Let me read it for you. It's not going to be on the screen. John chapter 17, in the beginning, it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. You see, Jesus' prayer is that the Father would glorify him because he's been giving glory to the Father. And it's not necessarily a bad thing to seek glory. But we want to seek the Father's glory first. And you know what happens when we seek the Father's glory? Jesus Christ, he makes it possible by praying for us as well. And this is where this passage comes in. He says, I do not ask for these only. He's praying for the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles. He says, I don't pray only for these 12, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them. You see that? That they may be one, even as we are one. Jesus Christ, he prays this prayer, and he makes it possible that we receive his glory so that we don't have to seek our own glory anymore. And we're able to live for God's glory. He makes this possible after praying this by going to the cross and dying for your sins, all the ways that we've sought to glorify ourselves. And not only that, he rose again from the dead, conquering sin and death. Conquering sin and conquering death so that we can have a relationship with God once again. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that this is what he's done for you, Jesus says that he gives you his glory, and so that we don't have to seek our own glory anymore. And we could live this life investing our time, our money, our efforts into what God is doing for his glory. We can be a part of this great orchestra where God has been working through all time. And we can be a part of that great choir one day where it says, after this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from every tribe, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, and will declare all together one day, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And it goes on saying, amen. Blessing and honor, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Our God is a missionary God. Our God is working. And he's investing all that he is into this work so that one day he will receive all the glory. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, be encouraged. This is not something that we accomplish by our own efforts. Remember and trust that God has been working even in our lives to change our hearts, that we would begin to give glory to God, and that we would use all of our lives for his glory. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much for this time that we could look to your word and remember, Lord, that you are the God who's working in a powerful way. You've worked in this way from the beginning of time. You work in this way today. And you will continue to work for your glory. You are doing the work of restoring the world unto yourself. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would work in our hearts, that you would continue to change our hearts and guide us. Lord, that we would use all of our efforts, all of our time, our money, everything to live for your glory. I pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. As the worship team leads us in just one verse of this song, I want to ask all of us to take a moment to reflect on today's sermon. And as you hear the